topics that you can pray about. And I'm not going to give you the topics of giving thanks and asking for forgiveness. You see, at a certain level of your Christianity, and I believe that we're going deeper in our walk with God, but at a certain level of your Christianity, you have to move past where your only prayers are giving thanks and asking for forgiveness. Yeah, that's a baby Christian level. But as you grow and as you develop in your walk with Christ, you must be able to pray about more things. Yeah, not just giving thanks. You give thanks. Those ones are standard. You give thanks and then you pray for forgiveness. Standard, but you have to move on. Amen. So as we are moving on, I'm going to give us two of the most important prayer topics that we can pray about. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, please. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. The Bible says here, Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From now on, yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds do follow them. Let's read the verse again. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From now on, yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Amen. So if you are a Christian, when you die, the belief that you should have is that you are dying in the Lord, you see? And the Bible is saying here, blessed are those who die in the Lord. So when you are a Christian, you die in the Lord. Yeah, pray that you will be a Christian until you die, so that you can say that you died in the Lord. But the Bible says, blessed are those who die in the Lord. They will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Amen. So the first important prayer topic that you must pray, or one of the most important prayer topics you must pray, is pray that God will make you into a worker. Yeah, pray that you will be able to become a worker. Notice how the verse says that they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. When you are a Christian and you die in the Lord, what will follow you to heaven or into eternity, for that matter, is whatever you have done here on earth for the Lord. It's not your degrees, it's not your money, it's not your house, it's not your cars. What is going to follow you into eternity is your deeds, the labor, what you have done for the Lord. Pray for an opportunity to serve God. Pray that you will become a worker in God's house. Yeah, I want us to take this quite serious, right? That if you are a member of this church, you must have a desire to do something in the church. You see, and it doesn't matter what you do in the church, but you must have a desire to do something in the church. There's always an opportunity for people to do more and more in the church. Whether we are online, whether we are in person, there's an opportunity for people to do more. There's always a door. This morning, our prophet talked about a great door is opened unto me. This church is a door for many of you to serve God, to do more for the Lord, to work at a higher level. And you must have that desire in yourself. You must pray that God will put that desire in you. Amen. If you turn your Bibles to Matthew 9, 36, Matthew 9 and verse 36. We're reading a few verses here. It says, but when he saw the multitude, so this is Jesus, when the Bible says when he, this is Jesus that the Bible was referring to, says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Verse 37. Okay, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. But the laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. I believe we may have verse 38. But the Bible says here that the harvest is plentiful. In verse 37, the Bible says that the harvest is plentiful. There are many things that you can do for God. There are many things that you can do to serve God with. Yeah, if you want to do things in this church, if you want to have an opportunity to work in this church, you know, just reach out to myself, right? And I'll make something up for you to even do. Because it's a blessing to serve God. The Bible says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There are more jobs than there are opportunity, people that want to take the jobs. Yeah, that's why sometimes it looks like one person in the church is doing so much, because many people don't really want to serve God. Many people don't really want to have their deeds follow them. Many people are not eternity-minded in that way. If we could go back to Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. Yeah, it says that, and their deeds will follow them. What you have done for God is what, in your labor, you will rest from your labor. If you are a Christian and you just come to church on Sunday, sit down, listen to the message, enjoy the preaching, enjoy the videos, enjoy the service, and go home, or you log off after this is done. You are not resting from any, you have nothing to rest from. You've spent your time here in rest. You've spent your time here not doing anything that would take you into eternity. Yeah, as a believer, what you are doing here, what will matter in eternity is the church, what you have done for God. What have you tried to push yourself to do? Yeah, if you start off by giving announcements, great. Give the announcements in such a way that it's like, wow, you are taking this very serious. If you are singing in church, sing and prepare in such a way that it is like you are taking it very serious. If you are moderating in church, if you are leading prayer in church, you should do it in such a way that it's like, wow, this is very serious to you. When you are involved in the church, when you are working in the church, it's a job. It's an actual job. There are people who are actually in full-time ministry. Yeah, if it wasn't a job or a career choice, then there wouldn't be an opportunity for some people to give themselves wholly to the thing. Yeah, so whatsoever you find yourself doing in the church, do it with all your might. The Bible actually says, whatsoever you find your hands doing, do with all your might. Anything you find yourself doing in church, there is no task, there is no function, there is no role in church that is smaller, or maybe this is not on the same level as this. Everybody plays an important role. Yeah, so take it, do it with all your might. If you read, let's turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, it says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. So whatsoever you find yourself doing in church, do to the glory of God. Always have it in the back of your mind that whatever you're doing in church, it's not for people. It's not to show people. It's not even for me. Don't think that maybe you are doing something for me. What you are really doing is benefiting yourself. Yeah, you are creating yourself some deeds. You are putting together some labors that when you get to heaven, there will be an opportunity for you to have a conversation with God, that there will be an opportunity for you to actually be blessed from dying in the Lord. Amen. So I want us as Christians, I want us as people to pray that we will have a desire to love God, that you will have a desire to work for the Lord. Yeah, pray that you will become a worker. Pray that you will become a worker in the church. Amen. If you have your Bibles, which you should, turn your Bibles to John chapter 9, John chapter 9 and verse 4. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Amen. You must. So someone has sent you. Yeah, someone has given you life. When the Bible says someone who has sent you, somebody has given you life. Somebody has given you an opportunity. You know, as I'm here and I'm preaching, every time before I come to church, I always thank God that I have an opportunity to preach. It's a labor, it's a deed, you see, that someday I will receive a reward from. And the Bible says that as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. There is a time that will come when you cannot work. Yeah, there is a time that will come when you can't serve God. Many people can't imagine such a time. And that is the reason why many people never really work for the Lord. It's because they can't imagine that a time will come in their life where they are incapable of working for, they think, oh, maybe when I get into my 30s or when I get into my 40s and I have children and I have a family, then I can settle down and be more involved in the church. But now, you know, while I'm young, while I don't have any real responsibilities, let me just relax, live life. I don't have to be too involved in church. You know, I'm a Christian. I'm a Sunday Christian. I go to church. I'm still a good person. No, that is not, because there was a time that will come when you are incapable of it. And you may not know when that time will come. Yeah, last year, we are coming up maybe in about 4 weeks, 3 weeks. We are coming up on the 1 year anniversary of when the world was shut down. Pilots, airplanes, airports, I mean, they couldn't move. You would get on a plane, if you could even get on a plane, you would get on a plane and you would be the only person on the airplane. Like, no one could imagine that a time will come where there are no planes at all flying, that there's no such thing as a flight from London to the US. But a time actually came where you could not buy a plane ticket and fly from London to New York. It was impossible. There was a time when no one can work. And the dangerous thing about that time is that it sneaks up on you. You may not know when it happens. You won't know when it comes, but the night is coming when no one can work. There's a time in your life for you to work for God. That's why the verse says that as long as it is day, you see, as long as it is day, we can preach. As long as it is day, we can pray. As long as it is day, we can serve God. But the night will come when we can't preach anymore. There's a time that will come when I won't be able to preach anymore. There's a time that will come we won't be able to pray anymore. There's a time that will come that you won't have the opportunity to be involved in a church from the beginning and to see it grow and to see it develop. Amen. You see, there's a time where First Love Church Delaware, we will be huge. You have to say amen when I say that. There's a time when First Love Church Delaware will be huge. We could be 50, 60 people, and you could be involved when it's beginning now. You see, and you must have that desire in yourself to be involved as a church is growing, as a church is beginning. And even as it goes on, you see, you must have a desire in yourself for it to grow and for it to work. Amen. Matthew chapter 22, we're going to read a parable. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1. You know, this message is also like last week's message. It's a message that you must listen to again. Yeah, messages that talk a lot about eternity and talk a lot about life after this life here on earth. You must listen to them again and again. Yeah, there was a message that I listened to maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and it was talking about what is your life. It's actually a camp preached by our prophet, Bishop Dag Heward Mills. And the title of the camp is What is Your Life? I listened to it maybe in 2015. I listened to just one of the camp messages, one of the sessions. And it was entitled, the title of the session was What is Your Life? And our prophet went through and explained how our life here on earth is very short. You are lucky to get 70, 80 years. If you get 40, 50, 60, it's a blessing. And when you get a certain amount of time, you must focus on what is going to count. Yeah, I mean, it's like you can spend your whole life preparing for a life here on earth that is only going, let's just say you are blessed and you get 80 years. You could spend your whole life preparing for 80 years or for eternity. Which one would you rather prepare for? Yeah, and I remember thinking and listening to this message. And I was young, but I remember thinking to myself, wow, it's actually a good point he's making. Like, I could spend my whole life preparing for just 80 years. If I get 80 years, I could spend my whole life preparing for 80 years. Or I could spend the time here doing something, preparing for eternity, doing something, preparing for judgment. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that there's a day that will come when you must give an account of everything you've done, good and evil. Yeah, so there's a day that will come when you must give an account for what you've done on earth. Amen. So as we are reading Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1, Jesus spoke to them again in parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. Amen. Next verse, please. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Next verse. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they said no attention and went off. I'm sorry, but they paid no attention and went off. One to his field, one to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Verse 8. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready. Yeah, the wedding banquet is ready. But those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. Verse 10. So the servants went out into the street and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. Yeah, I want us to pay attention to that. The bad as well as the good. There are some people that we think maybe because we are in church and they are not in church, they are bad. Yeah, but the Bible says that. Let's just keep reading. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Verse 11. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Verse 12. He asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? The man was speechless. Verse 13. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot. Throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And verse 14. For many are invited. Yeah, if you read this in another version, it says many are called. But the Bible says here, for many are invited, but few are chosen. Yeah, many of us, as you come to church like this afternoon, you've been invited. Somebody invited you. Even if you got the link on our church page, you've been invited. Yeah, you've been invited, but few are ever chosen. Many people are invited to come close to God. Many people are invited to have an opportunity to go to heaven, but few are ever chosen. Few people ever get an opportunity to really come close and serve God. And the reason is themselves. It's because of what they are focusing on in their life, what they are thinking. They are focusing on the 80 years rather than the eternity. If you put just a little percentage of your mind on eternity, you see that things will begin to change. But because we are wholly thinking about 80 years, once again, by God's grace, you'll get 80 years. Because you are thinking of 80 years instead of eternity, that is the reason why you are never chosen. If we go back to verse 8, please. Verse 8. It says that the wedding banquet is ready. The wedding banquet, this is a parable. So it is a story about what will practically happen. There will actually be an event in heaven that will be like a banquet and it will be ready. But those I invited did not deserve to come. Like those people who have been Christians didn't really work, didn't really serve me in a certain way. So they did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite anyone you find. Yeah. So rather what will happen is many of us who are hearing this message, many of us who have an opportunity to be involved in a church, who have an opportunity to work for God, because we won't do it, God will then go and find anyone else. Next verse, verse 10. And it says that, so the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. Yeah, so some of the people who you judge, some of the people who you look down upon, some of the people who you say that, oh, this person, he would definitely be in hell. Yeah, if you be honest, there's some people in your heart, when you see them, you'll say that, oh, this person, I mean, yeah. He's going, you know where he's going. But some of those people, they'll go into heaven. They'll have an opportunity to be at the banquet before you ever get the chance, before you ever get the opportunity. And it's because you didn't deserve it. You didn't really take what was in front of you for as you should have taken it. The Bible says that the good and the bad and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Amen. So, you know, let's take this serious. Let's take this parable serious as an opportunity that if we're not conscious and changing how we view serving God, this will be what will happen to us. If you go to verse, I believe verse 13. Yeah, it says, tie him hand and foot. Because you were not dressed, because you haven't qualified. The reason this particular attendant was thrown out was what he was wearing. Yeah, but it was really his qualification that had him thrown out. Yeah, it says that tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness. Yeah, where there be, throw him out of here. Like, you don't deserve to sit here. You don't qualify to sit here, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So let's take this parable serious. You know, let's take the words of Jesus serious here, that when you have a chance to be invited, when you've been called, open the door and serve the Lord. Serve him with your might. Serve him with your heart. Amen. So that's the first prayer point. The second most important prayer point as we close is love God with all your heart. Yes, love the Lord with all your, pray that you will love God with all your heart. Yeah, one of the reasons that people don't serve God is a lack of love. You know, it's easy to say, I love God. Or it's easy to say, oh, God is helping. God is great. I love him. He's done this for me. Many people say they love God. You don't really love God. Yeah, you don't really love God. If we can turn our Bibles to Mark 12, 32, Mark chapter 12 and verse 32. The book of Mark, chapter 12 and verse 32. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast had the truth, for there is one God and there is none other but he. Verse 33. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength. Yeah, pay attention. It said you have to love God with what? All your heart, all your understanding, and all your strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Verse 34. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that asked him any question. Amen. Go back to verse 32, please. Yeah, so you must love the Lord. You must love God with all your what? Verse 33, all your heart, all your strength, all your understanding. Yeah, you must love him. You see, many people say that they love God, but they do not. If you read in the Bible, God actually defines how he wants us to love him. He actually spells it out for us. But many of us, we think that love is just a feeling. But God actually tells us, yeah, God actually tells us, and I'll find the verse for you. I don't believe we have it. This is the love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. If you read the verse in another version, it says, for this is the love of God. This is how God wants to receive love. See, many people have relationships with people, friendships, whatever type of relationship. Many people have relationships with people. And one of the main reasons why some relationships don't work or many relationships fail is because you are choosing to express love for somebody how you want to express it. Yeah, it's like you want to love the person the way you want to show it, the way you deem fit to love somebody. But the person has said, no, I like this. This is my type of love. And God is saying here that whatever way you are choosing to show him love isn't working. It's not working. What is rather going to show him love is what is found in 1 John 5:3, where it says that keep his commands. That is how God wants to be loved, is when you are keeping his commands. So as I'm preaching and as I'm sharing with you on working for God and how you must pray that you have a desire to work for God and pray that God will make you a worker, you must also pray that God will help you to keep his commands. Pray that God will help you to keep what he has said in the Bible. The verse says that, and his commands are not burdensome. Like, the things he's asking of us to do are not burdens on us. They are not things that are weighing us down. We shouldn't behave like keeping God's commandments are things that are burdensome. It is work. It takes effort, but it's not a burden. There's two different things. When something is work, it's work. But when it's a burden, it's like you don't really want to do it, but you are doing it out of obligation. That's not love, you see? So you must pray that God will help you to follow his commandments. You turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 3 as we are closing. I'm going to finish this by giving you some type of people whom you must love. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16, it says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Verse 17, please. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love. Yeah, let's read the verse again. Verse 17. It says, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love. Many people call themselves Christians, but they're not rooted and established in love. That's why we judge our neighbors. That's why we look down on some people. That's why we don't really want to work for God. That's why we don't pray. Man, all of these issues are coming from a lack of being rooted and established in love. You must be rooted and established in love as the basic foundation of your faith is love. Verse 18. May have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide. Now we're beginning to describe the love of God. And it says that you will have the power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ. Verse 19. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen. God's love, what surpasses knowledge. You can't begin to describe the love of God that God has for you. The fact that he's died for all your sins already. He sent his son and his son has died for all of your sins already. It surpasses knowledge because you can't fathom it. You can't begin to wrap your minds around that. You can continue to say to God, I'm sorry, I keep doing this. Pray, I ask for forgiveness, Lord, I did this. And you come back and you do the same thing, a constant up and down. And he continues to forgive you. Many of us know ourselves that we wouldn't be that kind. We wouldn't be that loving. Amen. So pray that God will help you. You know, pray that God will help you to love God. Pray that God will help you to keep his commandments. Who are some of the people that you must love in your life? If you want to begin, can we go back to verse, I believe, 17? I believe it was verse 17, that you may be rooted and established in love. If you want to begin the journey of becoming rooted and established in love, who are some of the people you must love in your life? Number one, love God. Yeah, love God, right? Number two, love the lost people. So as a Christian, as somebody who has found the faith, somebody who believes in Christ, love people who don't believe in Christ. Don't judge them. Don't look down on them. Don't question where they're at. Don't think thoughts in your heart that, oh, this person, he's going to hell. No, don't ever, let me just say it clearly, don't ever look at somebody and for a second question where they're going, heaven or hell. Don't even have such a thought because you may never know. Like we read earlier, the good and the bad, they called into the wedding banquet. The so-called good and bad had the opportunity to be at the banquet. Amen. So love lost people. The Bible says, if you love me, feed my sheep. You see, so if you love God, put something in your heart that you want to share his word with people, whether that's a Bible study, whether it's even with your friends, put something in yourself that you want to feed his people. Yeah, as I'm preaching right now, this is an expression of love to God. It's an act of love to God because the Bible says, if you love me, feed my sheep. Amen. Don't be okay with just praying to God and being a normal Sunday Christian. Yeah, don't be okay with just staying at the same level, never increasing in your faith. Don't just be a Christian for 1 hour and 1 hour and 30 minutes on Sundays. I mean, it doesn't do anything for you. It doesn't help you when this is your only interaction with God is this is from 12 to 1:30 every Sunday. I mean, you'll never move. You'll never move on. You must press on. And many times, what will help you to be serious in church, what will help you to have a certain mind about Christ is working for him. Because you see, when you become a worker in church, no matter what you are doing, whether you are an instrumentalist, a singer, a preacher, anything you are doing in church, before you are that thing, you are a Christian. So before you are instrumentalist, you are a Christian instrumentalist. Before you are a singer, you are a Christian singer. Yeah, when you can organize a service and moderate a service, you are a Christian moderator. There are people in the world who moderate things, but there are also Christian moderators, and there has to be a difference. And the difference is the Christian part. Amen. So I just want to encourage all of us as we close to think about these two prayer topics. Once again, pray that you will become a worker for God and pray that you will love the Lord. Amen. And I believe that God will help you in your walk with Christ as you pray about these things. So as we close, let's just bow our head and close our eyes for a quick word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Just pray for yourself during this time as well. Place your hand over your heart. Talk with God about becoming a worker for him. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, God, to meet. We thank you for this opportunity to gather. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll continue to increase us. You'll continue to take us to higher heights and to new levels. Lord, I pray that you'll work in us, God, that you'll work something good out of us, that you'll help us to grow, help us to develop, help us not to stay on the same level, God. I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to increase us in our walk with you, God. May we not stay on the same level. Lord, I pray for more workers in the church. I pray for more people who want to love you, God. I pray that you will put a desire in people's heart after today's message, God, to love you, to want to work for you, to want to serve you, God. Lord, your word says that many are invited, but few are chosen. May we be a part of those who are chosen, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for another Sunday, another opportunity, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So thank Amen. You, everyone, once again, for attending today's service. I believe you are blessed. I would recommend, strongly encourage you to go back and to listen to today's message again.